Today we're going to continue on with our sermon series called Help in High Places. And today we're looking at faithful help, how Jesus is faithful help to us. And before we get started, I want to get on the same page. What is it to be faithful? What do we mean by the word faithful? The dictionary gives definitions and synonyms like being reliable, being trusted, fulfilling thoroughly all performances of your duties, and being true to one's word. This is what it is to be faithful. And I think that we find faithfulness compelling. As a matter of fact, I'm sure of it. And we have a video in which we see one of our members talk about the faithfulness of God, and it is so compelling. We've got a video of Dwayne Murphy, and we're going to start with it, because as we hear Dwayne talk and hear him share about God's faithfulness, just how compelling faithfulness is comes out in this video. So before we even get to the sermon, I'd like to watch this video of our elder Dwayne Murphy.
I received Christ when I was 12 years old, during a revival meeting in a small church in my village. But shortly afterward, this little church shut down, and my walk with Christ quickly went down. In my late teens, a friend and I went to a drive-in movie theater, and that night I met Janice, the most beautiful girl I had ever seen.
What did you think of Janice when you first met her?
Well, I think I described it when I said she was the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen. Soon after that, we began dating and fell in love. And after we'd been going out for a while, she made it clear to me that she was an atheist. And I, thinking that God was finished with me, was fine with what she thought, what she believed. We married and had two wonderful children. In their early childhood, my mother kept encouraging Jan to take them to Sunday school at the new missionary church in town. Eventually she did, I think mainly to keep my mom off her back. While the children were in Sunday school, Jan sat in on the adult Bible class. Gradually, so it seemed, God was changing her heart, finally convicting her of her need to receive Christ as her Savior. She did. That was when my life became very confused. It left me feeling left out. So I started reacting to her seemingly always going to church, always reading her Bible, always smiling. It was aggravating. When Jan would take the children Sunday mornings to church, I would do my own thing. Go golfing with my friends or playing hockey, depending on the season. But I was not very happy. One night in my unhappiness, I thought, this can't go on. This has to be dealt with. So I woke Jan to discuss my problem. And we talked, and we talked. And eventually I figured out that I was the problem. And Jan explained to me, if I wanted to have the peace and the joy that she had, I needed to repent and ask Christ into my life. So I prayed that night, asking God to help me and to forgive me. And immediately it was like the weight of the world was lifted off me. After a few years, my father retired, and my work made it necessary for us to move from Aylmer to Lobo. And our pastor in Aylmer suggested that we check out West London Alliance, as he thought it would be a good fit for our family, and it was. This was a very important step in my life, for Mike, through his teaching and through the example that he was to me, taught me how to live out a Christian life. God in his faithfulness has taught me many lessons, and one of the lessons he taught me was a big fellow used to like to go to work with me, and he had no money, and actually he was a bit of a mooch, but he would come to our house every morning, and I would give him breakfast and make him a lunch for at noon. I realized that this was because God was having me reach out to this man who had nothing. My prayer is that he saw the love of Christ at work in me through feeding him and being good to him. And another time, a neighbor took a liking to me. He took a liking actually to the lifestyle that he could see that Jan and I were living. And at doctor's orders, he was supposed to go to the gym. So we worked it out together that he would go to the gym with me. Now he is asking me questions. At this point in our relationship, I have offered to bring him a Bible, and he said that he doesn't want to read the Bible because his family will think he's went off the deep end. But he says, I don't need to read it because I can ask you each day what God said to you that day. So it's just amazing to me, God and his faithfulness, how that he works in little situations like spending half an hour with a neighbor. In October of 2011, I suffered a heart attack, and God, again in his faithfulness, answered the prayers of many and quickly restored me to health. A portion of scripture I would like to share with you is Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
I'm sure you got the sense of attractiveness and compellingness of faithfulness. And hearing Dwayne speak about it, we hear about a faithful spouse, Janice, even if her faithfulness and smiling all the time was aggravating. But it's compelling. Faithfulness is compelling. And a faithful friend who would help feed someone who needs some help, even if he's a bit of a mooch. Or share God's word with someone who's not comfortable reading word itself. Faithfulness is a compelling thing, and I'm sure your heart was moved as we heard Dwayne talk about that. We need to understand something, though, that we as fallible human beings are not always faithful in every aspect. We fail at times, and we lack faithfulness at times, but as Dwayne shared, God is always faithful. God is always faithful, and the most compelling and the most beautiful and the most glorious display of God's faithfulness is seen in God the Son, in Jesus Christ, as we sang about this morning. So will you bow your heads with me and pray as we prepare to hear God's word? Lord, I thank you for Dwayne's testimony. I thank you for the faithfulness of Janice and Dwayne's faithfulness in serving you, but most of all, I thank you for your faithfulness. For saving Dwayne, for saving Janice, for taking care of all of us. Lord, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would help us this morning, that you would help us to have hearts that are soft and open to your word, that you would remove the scales from our eyes and unstop our ears so that we could see and hear how glorious you are. I pray by your Spirit that you would help me to articulate your faithfulness in a way that reflects how truly beautiful and wonderful you are. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The sermon series, Help in High Places, is a sermon series from the book of Hebrews. And so we're going to return to Hebrews chapter 3 to consider help that comes to us, a help that is faithful. We're reading Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. You can open that in your Bible or power up your electronic device or read it on the screen. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. This morning we're going to start with what the writer to the book of Hebrews says, and we are going to follow his instructions. And immediately in the first two verses there, he points toward the faithfulness of Jesus, and he tells us to consider Jesus. And so this morning, we're going to consider Jesus. We're going to consider him and the help that he brings us. To begin with, we're going to consider Jesus and the help he brings as a faithful apostle. It says in verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him." And so we want to consider Jesus as a faithful apostle. Well, what does this word apostle mean? Often there's confusion with it because in many circles, the 12 disciples of Jesus are also called the 12 apostles. But the word apostle is a very simple word, and it means a messenger or someone who is sent. And so Jesus was an apostle. We see in John chapter 8, verse 29, Jesus is speaking. And he says, "And he," referring to the Father, "and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." Jesus was an apostle. He was sent by God the Father. And he was a faithful apostle who always would do the things that are pleasing to him. Always. He says, "I always do those things." So he was sent by God, and he was a faithful apostle who was sent. And Jesus offers us his help, and we should avail ourselves of that help because he offers it from high places. He came from heaven, sent by God, and that's where he is now. And in being sent to help us, he always, always faithfully did what God willed him to do. Now it seems to me that if you're in need of help and God sends help to you, you should take that help. Seems to me that would be the smart thing to do. It would make sense that if God sends help, I would avail myself of that help. But if God sent himself to help you, there would be no conceivable reason why you wouldn't accept that help. And Jesus was sent from God. Jesus, who was the Son of God. But you see, there's a problem. We don't always see ourselves as someone who needs help. We live in a culture and a society where to admit that we need help is a sign of weakness, and we don't like to do that. But do you see yourself this morning as a person who needs help? Do you recognize that you are a person who needs help? We need to see that. We all need help. And so God sent his Son. God sent him as an apostle, someone to do his will, as a messenger. But what kind of help did he offer? God sent him to offer help. What kind of help did he offer to us? We see that as we consider Jesus as a faithful high priest. We see in verses 1, 2, again, "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful." And so we consider Jesus and the help that he brings as a faithful high priest. Several weeks ago, I mentioned about a priest and what a priest was and what a priest did. And we talked about the fact that a priest is a mediator, a go-between between God and man. And he mediates, a priest mediates according to the Old Testament by sacrifice. Jesus was a faithful high priest, the writer of Hebrews says, appointed by God, who always performed his duty as priest, just as the God the Father willed. So what was God's will in the mediation of Jesus? It was God's will that Jesus would mediate between himself, God, and mankind. And his mediation is one of reconciliation. You see, our sin required a mediator, and our sin separated us from God. And the priest was needed to offer sacrifice to deal with sin so that we could be reconciled back to God. We need a priest. We need a go-between between us and God because of our sin. We've been separated. Jesus reconciled us to God by becoming our perfect sacrifice for sin. We read in Hebrews chapter 9, 26 this, "He," meaning Jesus, "has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." You see, a priest was to use sacrifice to mediate people's sin. And yet the faithful priest came. And unlike all other priests who would sacrifice animals for sin, this faithful priest sacrificed himself. He sacrificed himself to mediate between us and God and to deal with our sin. And so he brings that help as faithful priest, and it is a faithful help. A convincing description of how faithful this help was comes in Hebrews 10 a little further on, Hebrews 10 verse 12. The writer writes this, "When Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God." Now this "sat down" is very interesting. This is talking about the work of a priest. And if you look in the Old Testament, there are numerous chapters that speak and tell very specifically of what the temple was like and what the priest's job were. And if you go through all those lists, you'll see that everything that was part of the temple is listed and described. And if you go through that list, you will see there is nothing in there that you can sit on. There is no furniture in the temple for a priest to sit down on. There's no sofa. There's no lounge. There's not even a stool. Because the priest wasn't supposed to sit down because a priest's work was never done. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, the priests would sacrifice for people's sins. There was no time for rest. There was no time to sit down. The job wasn't done. People kept sinning, and sacrifices kept being made. But Jesus sat down after he gave the sacrifice of himself. And he sat down because he had faithfully fulfilled his duty. When he died on the cross for us, his work was finished. His sacrifice was a one-time perfect sacrifice. And it was perfect because he was perfect. And in sacrificing himself, he gave a sacrifice that was infinite in its perfection, a sacrifice that could mediate all the sins that could ever possibly be committed. And so he sat down. That's a faithful high priest, a priest who can sit down after the sacrifice. And where did he sit? Where he sat points to his faithfulness as well. He sat down at the right hand of God. This is a position of privilege and power, and it's recognition of Jesus' faithful service, his faithful high priesthood. Now, he is faithful help because he successfully reconciled man to God and God to man, and he did this through the sacrifice of himself, which put away in a single sacrifice sin and all of our sins. Now let me ask you this morning, have you availed yourself of Jesus' faithful help as high priest? Have you availed yourself to him for the forgiveness of your sins and reconciliation to God. And if you can say yes to that, then I ask you, do you regularly and do you intentionally consider Jesus and the help he brings as faithful high priest? We did that this morning in our songs. We sang songs that helped us to consider Jesus and the work he did on our behalf for our sins. Is that something that's part of your regular life? Another question, how could he do it? We say he's faithful high priest, that he successfully reconciled man to God and God to man. How could he help us in such a perfectly and completely faithful way? And we can see how it is that he could do this when we consider that Jesus was also a faithful son. So let's consider Jesus and the help he brings as a faithful son. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6 says, "But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son." Now, the whole biblical narrative, the whole story of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, can be summed up as God looking for a faithful son with whom he could fulfill the expectations of a covenant, of an agreement between himself and mankind. One of the ways to understand the whole story of the Bible is that God was looking for a faithful son who he could enter into a covenant with, and that faithful son could responsibly fulfill the expectations of that covenant. This is what he was doing with Adam. Adam is created by God, and God was looking for a faithful son who he could have a relationship with, who would remain faithful to him, who would fulfill his duties, fulfill his obligations, and be trustworthy and reliable, and Adam couldn't do it. And then again with Noah, he was looking for a faithful son who he could start over with and be in a relationship with. And Abraham and David and all David's sons who were kings in Israel, God was looking for a faithful son, looking for someone who he could go and create an agreement with, who on their side could remain faithful. He always remained faithful. God always remained faithful in his relationships with mankind, but mankind didn't return that. And we see in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, an account of Jesus and his sonship. Matthew writes, "When Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him, Jesus. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" In Jesus, God found the faithful Son. The faithful Son who he could make a covenant with that would bless all of mankind. The study notes from the ESV Study Bible are very helpful in this. In regards to this verse, they say, "The voice from heaven confirms the eternally existing relationship of divine love that the Son and Father share, as well as Jesus' identity as the Messianic Son of God." This is the faithful Son. This beloved Son is the triumphant Messianic King, yet he is also the humble servant into whose hands, listen to this, into whose hands the Father is well pleased to place the mission to bring salvation to the nations. God found the Son who could be faithful and who he could send to fulfill everything that needed to be fulfilled. This idea of God searching for a faithful Son, I first came across it in a book called Kingdom Through Covenant. And in Kingdom Through Covenant, the author writes, "In other words, in the coming of our Lord Jesus, we find God's promise brought to pass by his own sovereign action through an obedient and faithful, we can add, Son, who by his life and his glorious cross work achieves and secures our redemption on unshakable grounds. He was a faithful son. God had found a faithful son. Jesus is the help in high places. How is he that help? Not just help sent from God, as one God is pleased to put on his mission, though he was that, he was a faithful apostle. Not just as a faithful priest who mediates through self-sacrifice, though he was that. This is the very Son of God, who is God. And in being God the Son, he is perfectly faithful in all his duties. What do you do when you need help? If we come to a place where we admit that we need help, and we all do, what do you do? Do you follow the advice of a game show and use a lifeline to call a friend? Do you have other tricks and tactics you use when you need help? And some of them can be very good things. Do you consult a professional? Do you buy a book and read it about this help? These can be good things. But let me suggest to you, when you need help, consider Jesus. Consider the faithful one sent from God. Consider the faithful high priest who mediated between God and man and dealt with the problem of sin. Consider Jesus, the very Son of God who was faithful. Now, the first verse says that the ones who should consider Jesus are the holy brothers. And that term brothers, without question, includes both men and women. And so we might say holy brothers and sisters. That's who the writer says should consider Jesus. And those who share in a heavenly calling. But what if you're here this morning and that's not true about you? You've come to church, you're interested, you're investigating, but you wouldn't say that you were a holy brother or a holy sister. You wouldn't say that you share in a heavenly calling. Then let me suggest to you that you too should consider Jesus. In our society and our culture, when we need help, we do. We have many practices and many things that people can do. They can read books from experts. They can go and visit experts themselves. They can ignore it. They can seek help that dulls the pain and alcohol and drugs. There's many different things that we can do, but let me suggest to you that you consider Jesus. Jesus is a faithful apostle who was sent by God because men had sinned and were separated from God. The evil things we do, the wrong things that we do, lying and stealing and cheating and being selfish, separate us from God. And God didn't stand back and just leave us. He sought to help us, and so he sent his son because we were separated from him. Jesus is a faithful high priest who mediates, who deals with that sin through his own death. And he, if you will put your faith in him, can reconcile you to God. Jesus is the faithful Son of God who is God himself, whose perfect life made him the perfect sacrifice, in which we can be brought to God. If you don't know him, don't you long for that faithfulness? Doesn't your heart reach out and grab hold of that idea of faithfulness? I read a powerful story of faithfulness this week. The story talks about one of the most tragic events during the Reagan presidency. It was the Sunday morning when terrorists bombed the Marine barracks in Beirut, in which hundreds of Americans were killed or wounded as they slept. There was a soldier there, a soldier named Corporal Jeffrey Lee Nashton, a Marine, and he was severely wounded in this bombing, and he found himself in a hospital in Germany. Nashton, witnesses say, had so many tubes running in and out of his body that he looked more like a machine than a man. It was a bad, bad injury, but he survived. Now, this young Marine, Corporal Jeffrey Lee Nashton, when visited by superior officers, had a very interesting response. Some superior officers, some of the Marines that commanded him, walked into his room. And he was struggling to move. He was racked with pain. But when he saw his officers, he motioned. He wanted a piece of paper and he wanted a pen. In all that pain and in all that suffering, he wanted to communicate with his commanding officers, with these Marines who were above him. And he took the pen and the paper and in pain wrote a note and passed it back to them. What would you write in a situation like that? What words would you want to communicate to your superior officers? Maybe contact my family back home. Maybe concern for your own life. What would a Marine write on a piece of paper when he's barely alive, racked with pain, and he looks like a machine because he's hooked up? What would he write? He wrote just two words. Semper Fi. Semper Fi. He wrote two Latin words. He wrote the two Latin words that are the motto for the Marines. Two Latin words that mean forever faithful. Here's a young man who has served his country and is on the brink of dying and in pain and suffering. And when his commanding officers come, he has two words, forever faithful. Right? Holding on to that motto of the Marines. That's a powerful story. When I read that, I was moved. We long for faithfulness. Faithfulness is compelling. And I would say to you this morning, if you don't know the faithful son, if you've never asked the faithful priest to mediate on your behalf the sin that separates you from God, if you've never looked to the faithful apostle who was sent by God to help you, then this morning I say to you, consider Jesus. Consider the help that he offers. Now, most of you this morning, I assume, are holy brothers and holy sisters. You share in a heavenly calling. You have put your faith in the faithful apostle, the faithful high priest, the faithful son. And to you, I want to say, consider Jesus. You see, Jesus is faithful. He's faithful as an apostle, he's faithful as a high priest, and he's faithful as a son. But what's interesting is in the New Testament, all of those names can be applied to you and to me. We are apostles, not capital A apostles. Small A apostles. If we are holy brothers and holy sisters and share in a heavenly calling, have been sent. Mark 16, verse 15. And he, Jesus, said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. You and I are apostles. We've been sent by Jesus. We have a mission. We have a message. The New Testament also tells us that we are priests. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter, talking about Christians, says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so we're referred to as priests, and we're also referred to as sons and daughters. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. And so as apostles and priests and sons and daughters of God, I suggest to you that we're called to be faithful as well. Jesus was a faithful apostle, a faithful priest, a faithful son. We're called to be faithful as well. But how? How do we be faithful? How do we grow in faithfulness? We recognize that Jesus was faithful. How are we to be faithful? Well, I think the writer of Hebrews has already told us how we grow in faithfulness, how we become faithful. Consider Jesus. If we read this last verse, it points to how we can grow in faithfulness. The last verse in our passage, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, it says, Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And then the writer says this, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. We are his house. We are his people. We are his faithful sons and daughters if. And so there's a way in which we can be more faithful or less faithful or unfaithful. If what? We're faithful if we hold fast. Well, what do we hold fast to? It says our confidence and our boasting and in our hope. Well, what do we hope in? What do we boast in? What are we confident in? We have hope in, we are confident in, and we boast in Christ's work for us. That's what we boast in. It's in the gospel. A commentary on this sixth verse said, the hearers, the Christians, are to hold fast to God's work for them in Christ, which includes all that has been promised. And so the writer of Hebrews suggests to us how we might be faithful, just as Jesus is faithful. We remain faithful by holding fast to God's work for us in Christ. He was the sent one. He was the mediator. He was the son who died. How do we hold fast to this? Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus when you need help. Many of you, most of you, have already considered him for help for your sins, but consider his help in every situation in your life. Consider Jesus when you fail in some aspect and you're less than perfectly faithful. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus as you read his word from the start to the finish. Always consider Jesus. Consider Jesus by reflecting on his faithfulness, particularly his faithfulness in his work on the cross. Never stop considering Jesus and the work he did for you. The work he did for you by becoming a man and by living a perfectly obedient life and by suffering and by dying and by coming back from the dead. If you want to grow in faithfulness, then do what the writer of the Hebrews suggests. Consider Jesus, the faithful apostle, the faithful high priest, and the faithful son who brings us faithful help. Let's pray. Lord, we stop and we recognize with gratefulness and with awe and with wonder that you did not stand aloof when you saw us desperately needing help, when you saw us in slavery to sin. But you sent help. You sent Jesus. And he was a faithful apostle, a faithful sent one. And you sent him to mediate our sin, to deal with our sin, which could only be dealt with through sacrifice. And so he sacrificed himself. And he was faithful in that sacrifice and in that work as priest because he was the infinitely perfect sacrifice. A sacrifice that could pay for all sin. He was faithful and he mediated that sin. And he was perfect because he was the Son of God, very God himself. We thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that for those of us here who are holy brothers and holy sisters who share in that heavenly calling, that you will help them to always consider Jesus and consider the help that he brings. And I pray for those who are here who wouldn't consider themselves in that group, that by your Holy Spirit, you would help them consider Jesus and look to the faithful help that he has brought them. And as we do that, I pray by your Holy Spirit that as we consider Jesus, as our mind grasps the truth about what he did for us, and as our heart grows in a loving response to that, that you would help us to become more faithful, even as he's faithful. That as we consider Jesus, we would see both the model of faithfulness and the motivation for faithfulness. We ask this in his precious name. Amen.